Boyd Myers, and I'm the chairperson of the Irish Anti-War Movement. I'd like to start by commending Ross O'Snoddy for organising this initiative, because I think it's very timely indeed that we have initiatives which are about bringing politics back onto the street. In 1968, when the students and workers of Paris took over the city centre in protest against the actions of their government and the failure of their government to represent them, politics in a spectacular way began to take place in places that had never taken place before. In the National Theatre in Paris, meetings took place every night when 7,000 and 8,000 students and workers and people who never participated or never had a voice in politics met each night to talk about the sort of world they wanted and the sort of world that their petition failing to give them. And in that hall, they had a huge banner. And the banner read, "When the bourgeois parliament becomes a theatre, then the national theatre must become a parliament." And I think that this initiative today of politics on the street is part of a process of a rebirth of the sort of street politics that we saw in the late 1960s, and they are very badly needed indeed, because I think these politics come about when the political establishment and the existing institutions of politics fail to represent the needs and the aspirations and the wishes of ordinary people. Politics and the official institutions are failing to represent millions and millions of people across the world. And indeed, as Tony Benn, I think one of the best British politicians of recent times, said when he resigned from being an MP, he said, "I'm resigning to take up real politics." And he was referring to the politics of the street, the politics of protest, the politics of being in touch with ordinary people to give real expression to the need for to the need for change. And I think there are many, many examples of why we need the politics of the street once again. In this country, there's the fact that we had a government in the last election who made promise after promise, and then as soon as they were elected, trampled on those promises and did exactly the opposite of what they said they were going to do. They said they wouldn't cut back our hospital services, and then they brought in a report which was proposing precisely to slash accident and emergency services. And as a result, we saw tens of thousands of people across the country take to the streets in protest. We saw a government who said that they were bringing in a bin tax in order to do something about the environment, when in reality they were simply attacking the poorest and most vulnerable in working class communities across this country. But the biggest example of the gap between the rhetoric of official politics and the reality on the ground, of course, is George Bush's war in Iraq and his so-called war on terror. They talked about a war to rid the world of weapons of mass destruction, to bring liberation to Iraq, to bring democracy to Iraq, and to end the threat of terrorism and violence. But of course, the rhetoric was the exact opposite of the reality. There were no weapons of mass destruction. They wreaked destruction on 10,000 innocent civilians in Iraq. They didn't bring liberation, but a puppet government. They didn't bring an end to violence, but more and more violence, a cycle of violence, not just in Iraq, but across the Middle East, and as we saw tragically in Madrid, into the West as well. We saw the same gap between official politics and the reality with the pronouncements by our own government that they were neutral in this war led by George Bush, but at the same time they were proclaiming to the public that they were neutral. They were actively collaborating in the barbaric war that Bush was conducting, allowing over 125,000 US troops through our airports en route to slaughter innocent civilians in Iraq. They told us they were against the war and supported those who marched against it. They said they were against the war and supported those who marched against the war, but then they planned to invite George Bush, the man responsible for that war, to this country and give him a welcome. It is that gap between the reality of politics and the rhetoric of politics that is forcing people onto the streets. And I see this initiative, this Speaker's Corner, as part of that process where millions of ordinary people across the world have started to take to the streets again, because the leaders of official politics in the United States, or for that matter in this country, are acting out a charade and a circus that bears no relationship to reality and to the real aspirations and needs of ordinary people. So this initiative is part of the process that we saw in Genoa, in Seattle, the protests around the hospitals in this country, the bin tax protests, and of course, most spectacularly, the demonstration last February the 15th, when over 20 to 30 million people took to the streets across the world in the biggest international coordinated protest in history. That was an example of real politics taking to the streets, and I see what we are doing and beginning today as part of that. And I want to stress the politics like this, the politics of the street, the politics of protest, are not about just sounding off into the wilderness. They are not a futile exercise. The politics of the street make a difference. In Seattle and in Cancun, the protests of the anti-globalization movement for the first time gave the confidence to third world countries that were being trampled on by the major imperial powers, by the US and so on, gave them the confidence to stand up to the IMF, the World Bank and the World Trade Organization and say no, and demand that the rights of people in the third world were vindicated and asserted. The hospital protests I mentioned earlier on forced this government into a humiliating U-turn on their proposed cuts of accident emergency services. The recent postal workers' strike, we didn't hear much, we heard a lot when the strike was on about the disruption it was causing to the postal service, but the truth was those postal workers won, they won a tremendous victory, and that was a victory not just for those postal workers because they came out and strike, but it was a victory for all of us in the fight to maintain a public postal service that isn't privatised and that isn't just given to those who can afford to pay for it. The fight against the bin tax is not over, but it forced this government to admit that the original flat charge in the bin tax was unjust, that it disproportionately hit the worst off in Irish society, and has forced them to bring in a new form of environmental charge. Still an unjust one in my opinion, but nonetheless it forced the government to do a U-turn. And again, most importantly, on the anti-war protests, we have to understand that they were not futile, they were not an exercise of shouting into the wilderness, but they have had an absolutely spectacular effect. And that was seen most obviously in the fact that José María Aznar's party in Spain, the popular party that dragged the Spanish people into a war that they did not want to fight, that 90% of Spanish people opposed, that 4 to 5 million people came out in the streets of Madrid last year to protest against. They got away with supporting the war for a year, but in the last few months they have been dragged out of political power because of the mass movement in Spain, the movement of mass protest. And while Bush and Blair continue in power, there's absolutely no question that Bush and Blair hoped that when they went into Iraq, they would win a quick military victory and they would silence those who had protested. But the truth is that has not happened. The questions that were raised by the mass movement last year have continued to dog Bush and Blair. They have not been able to escape the questions and doubts that were raised by the anti-war movement about the realities of that war, what the war was really about. And it's important to stress that the Afghanistan war was just as wrong as far as I'm concerned. There was no connection whatsoever between the terrible attacks on September the 11th and the 4,000 or 5,000 innocent Afghanis who died in the US-led war. But they got away with it. If the truth be known, they got away with it. Why? Because the protests against it were relatively small. In this city, 4,000 or 5,000. And the Afghanistan slipped off the political radar.
That has not happened on Iraq, and the reason it has not happened on Iraq, because 150,000 people took to the streets in this city, and 20 million people took to the streets across the world. And it is still likely, and indeed something I think we should all hope for, that George Bush will be driven to some power in November of this year because of the lies he told to the American public, to the public internationally, and indeed to the US 500 or 600 US soldiers that they sent out to die in Iraq, as well as the innocent civilians they killed for a war based on lies about weapons of mass destruction and the so-called liberation of Iraq. And also our own government.
They took to the streets peacefully. They took to the streets peacefully.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not suggesting anything else.
The Speaker besides said they took to the streets peacefully, and absolutely right. The protests on the streets were an assertion of real politics, of peaceful intent, as against the violent intent of Bush, Blair. But also our own government. Our own government remained in power, but I think everybody now knows that the Irish government are going to face a humiliating drubbing in the forthcoming European local European elections and the local elections. And if you date back the collapse of their popularity, it dates back to the week after the February 15th demonstrations. Fianna Fáil were riding high in the opinion polls up until that point. Within a week of 150,000 people taking to the streets, the next opinion poll showed that Fianna Fáil support had dropped by 9 points, and it has never since recovered. That is the power of people protest. That is the power of street politics. And I think the final proof of the awareness the political establishments have of the effectiveness of street politics and of street protest is the controversy we've had over May Day. The scaremongering and hysteria we have seen from the government, from the Gardaí, and in the media over the last number of weeks about the protests that are due to take place next weekend are a deception of a similar type to the deception about weapons of mass destruction. Just like Bush created a fictional threat about weapons of mass destruction in order to justify a barbaric war for oil and for another agenda, so our government has created an absolutely fictional threat about violence on May Day because they want to smash our right to protest, they want to dramatically curb our civil liberties and our right to assert our opposition on the streets of the government. And they are doing that because they know the protests are hurting them, they know the protests are effective, they know the protests are removing the legitimacy of the government and showing that the government does not represent the people. And for that reason, I would finish with two things. First of all, don't be intimidated, don't allow this government to intimidate people from taking to the streets and protesting for a better world. It's very, very important that everybody who is against war, who is against racism, who is against the corporate takeover and destruction of our public services, stands up to government intimidation and comes out on the streets on May Day to assert their right to protest and to assert their right to fight for a different world. Because if you don't do that, then the government scaremongering and intimidation has worked. But also around the Bush visit, I really want to appeal to people to come out in their droves. On Friday, the 25th of June, hours before George Bush arrives in this country, we want to see tens of thousands, if not in excess of 100,000 people on the streets of Dublin. It is vitally important that this happens. Bush is coming to this country so that he can have beamed back to the United States photographs of him shaking hands with the Irish Prime Minister to say to the American public that Ireland supports Bush and Ireland supports what he did in Iraq. It is vitally important that side by side with the pictures of Bush shaking hands with Bertie Ahern, there are pictures of hundreds of thousands of protesters on the streets saying that Bertie Ahern does not represent us, that George Bush is not welcome, that there is no support for Bush's war agenda in this country. And that can have a very decisive effect in ending Bush's chances of re-election, and if Bush is not elected, it will be a tremendous blow against the war in Iraq and for democracy and for justice and for fair play across the world. So I appeal to you, come out on the streets on May Day,
Come out to the streets on the 25th of June in your tens of thousands and keep up the politics of protest. Bring politics back to the streets. We need real politics, not the sham, the circus and the fiction that we see in Dáil Éireann or in the Pentagon or in the White House.